Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I'm a little cold. And, the weather's kind of bad. Let's talk about this. I mean, I wasn't expecting this bad weather. I was expecting sun and 50, 60 degrees. It is definitely not that.
Well, you know, I think we were talking a couple of weeks ago about how it was so nice and it was, you know, perfect weather, pretty much. I mean, a little chilly, but, you know, all in all, not too terribly bad. And I think we had said something about how, boy, I remember a time a few years ago we were talking about the ice storm of the century. And it's like, oh, it's just the century. It'll never happen again. And now it's like winter. Welcome to winter again. And
Yes, welcome to winter wonderland. I mean, you know, it's cold. Out. We've had snow. We've had ice.
Yeah.
I don't know what else we could have. And they're telling everybody, stay in, keep bundled up. Do not go out unless it's an emergency. You know, do not get on the roads. You know, when it's 7 degrees at night, it's hard to survive. It's hard to even think about even an emergency if you had to go out. It'd have to be a real emergency.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I've seen people talking about this. It's I guess they started talking about it earlier in the week, that this thing may start developing, and this could be a whole thing for a whole lot of people. And as we get closer and closer to the weekend, they were saying, oh boy, you know. In fact, the other day before all this actually, you know, got here, I was thinking, okay, you know, sometimes the forecast will change. The guy came on TV or somewhere, and he said, okay, he literally said, okay, I don't want you to panic, but pay attention.
Like, we were panicking about Thursday. We started panicking on Thursday,
yeah,
getting ready for this. They said by Friday, you know, look out, and we were looking out the windows, and it said check Weather Central all hours, and we were checking that. And it was giving you a play-by-play how bad it is.
Yeah.
And how many wrecks they've had, and, you know, who is stranded and who's not stranded, and, you know.
Yeah.
Doggone it, it's just a bad deal.
Yeah. It's pretty serious when the weather guy says don't panic. It's like that's not your best opening line.
Don't panic when we've already done that.
Yeah.
You know. You know, I had planted some flowers the other day. I think you can forget them. They're under the snow and under the ice. And, you know, I don't think they're coming back out. I think that's a total washout.
Yeah. Ooh, if you just planted flowers the other day, yeah, that's not going to make it. It's not going to happen.
I don't believe they'll make it. But it said they were fall and winter flowers.
Whoa.
They didn't mention snow. They did not mention ice. You know, they didn't mention all the things that might go wrong.
Winter flowers are one thing, but ice and snowmageddon is like that's a completely different kind of flower.
Yeah, I planted the wrong ones. I needed a snow flower.
Yeah, or plastic flowers.
You know, maybe that's where it went wrong. You know, years ago, I saw these beautiful flowers, and I was complimenting a lady on them, and come to find out, every one of them was plastic, and not one of them in her yard was real.
Oh.
I bet she thought I was dumb, you know, but I wasn't close enough to see that they weren't real.
Well, they looked, I'm sure, very bright and pretty and realistic. So, I mean,
and perfect, you know, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, when a flower, a petal is perfect, you think, well, that's just really beautiful.
Yeah.
But you don't realize it's not even real.
Yeah, no. We had a neighbor once a long time ago who used to plant fake flowers and fake trees in the yard. And so we started to turn it into a game. We're like, well, I wonder what other silly, tacky things we can have him do in his yard. And so we would suggest things, and he would do it. And by the time
done,
yeah, he had a plastic reindeer in the yard, like, all the time, plastic flowers, plastic trees.
Wow.
And then we realized we shouldn't have done that because now the neighborhood looks tacky and we live next door.
Yeah, and you live next door to him. That's, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so.
Well, I remember years ago people would put little wheelbarrows out in the yard and do all kinds of silly things.
Oh, yeah. I remember those.
You remember those? Yeah. They had the little wheelbarrows and had a little guy in the the back of the wheelbarrow with a little hat on. Remember, he had a straw hat on.
Yeah, I remember those. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but we finally got people to quit doing all that.
Yeah. At one point, we had the, remember the little windmills? I don't know if they're windmills or
yes,
what they are.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
The little windmills, you could, I think you bought them at the grocery store.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe the feed store, the feed store.
Yeah.
And you plant those in the yard, and the little wheels would, the little blades would turn.
Yeah.
When the wind blew. Remember when the wind blew, the little white blades would turn?
Yeah. Oh, those were fun. I don't think they have those anymore, do they?
I hope not. I don't know. I mean, it'd be my luck if somebody'd send me one.
Yeah.
That'd be just my luck. Oh, my gosh.
That would be funny. So look out. Watch your mail now, because you know
that's
somebody
right.
will do it.
or something else silly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So this is a weekend that we can talk about for a long time. We'll be able to tell our children, grandchildren. They'll tell their kids and grandkids. This is great.
They'll say, do you remember back in 26?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember all that?
January 26. Yep.
January of 26, when everything happened at one time. One weekend. That you will not be going anywhere.
Yeah.
You're not going to the mall. You're not going anywhere.
Oh, yeah. We had some friends we were talking to the other day, and I think it was Tuesday. I think they had said that they had already gone to the store, and whatever store they went to, all the shelves were bare. There was no milk. There was no bread. There was no, you know, none of it. And so they had to go to three or four places before they found their stuff. And this was on, I think, Tuesday. So it was like earlier in the week. People were already getting
well, you know,
prepared.
I always order in. You know, I order everything, either Walmart or Sam's.
Yeah.
It's just easier to have it delivered, you know? And then they tell me this is out and this is out.
Uh-huh.
They don't have this.
Find a substitution. What do you want instead? Yeah.
I know. And lots of times I don't want the substitution, but I end up with it anyway.
Yeah. Boy, it's just when the weather comes, it almost seems like when they say that this is going to happen now, we kind of take it a little bit more seriously than maybe we used to, just because of what happened a couple of years ago. I mean, I haven't forgotten about it. I don't think anybody's really forgotten about that. And we don't want to be
there. Was hundreds and hundreds of people, if you remember, in the parking lots. They were all running into each other. I mean, it was a madhouse. Everybody thought they were going to be snowed in for the rest of the year. And they bought things they would never have thought about buying.
Yeah.
I mean, the bills were huge because everybody would have three carts going out to the car.
Oh, yeah.
Pushing three carts, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody said, you know, it might last a long time. We might need water. We might need more Dr. Pepper. You know, we got to get all this.
Yeah. The people we were talking to were even looking for a generator. And they were having trouble finding generators, just in case. So,
oh, yeah, you need to buy those before you need them.
Yeah, yeah. A couple of days before is not the time. You want to stock up on those like in the summer when they're nice
That's
and
right,
cheap.
When they're on sale.
Yeah.
Because in the summer, nobody needs them. That's a good time to buy them.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm starting to wonder if maybe we need to, you know, create like a weatherproof, like a bunker type of thing, like a survivalist kind of thing with all the canned goods and the generators and all that, just because.
Put it all in.
Yeah. Load it up. Get it all fully stocked just in case. It's just, it's this weird weather just keeps happening over and over. And I don't know that I've ever seen this much weirdness for the last couple of years.
But you know, it might be like what I did several years ago. I heard all this about, you know, something might happen, a apocalypse, you know. And so I bought all this water. I mean, huge bottles of water, like you see stocked in the grocery store. Not the little gallon ones. I mean, you know, huge ones. And I kept it so long that I had to throw the water out. I mean, that's how long. And nothing ever happened. I didn't have that emergency. The apocalypse didn't happen. And we didn't need the water.
Oh, that was always the worst, when you would stock up on things you don't normally get, and then it never happens. It just fizzles out or turns left or goes east or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, and then what about if you leave it too long, and you look at the date on the top, and it's been expired for 2 years. And then you don't want to do that.
Yeah. We had moved a couple of weeks ago, and we were going through and cleaning out some of the canned goods and things. I found a bottle or a jar of grape jelly that expired back in 2016.
Oh, my gosh, 2016?
Yeah.
You don't eat much jelly, do you?
No.
In my house, that wouldn't have made it the first year.
I think it was one of those where it's like, okay, we better stock up because something's about to happen, and we did. It's not.
And you never used it.
No.
Wow.
It was like, when did we get this? the joys of severe weather. See, there is some
right.
kind of a good sign anyway. Something good came out of it, a laugh or two.
That's right. Well, at least you cleaned out your pantry.
Well, yeah, it's true. We got it all cleaned out now, and all the food is up to date. So.
Yeah, so you can start over now.
Exactly. We'll get some more things, and then we'll unveil them in 10 or 12 years and say the same thing. When did we get this?
Yeah, you wonder why you never used it.
Yeah. Well, I just wish I could do that with, like, money, you know? You know, like $500 just sitting someplace in a can or a jar or someplace. When did we get this? That would be fun.
Yeah. So why did I put it here?
Yeah. Yeah. What was this for? That doesn't happen. So this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Kind of reminds me a little bit of the lecture we got when we were kids about how we don't have a money tree. So
we don't have a money tree.
Yeah. Money doesn't grow on trees.
And that's what everybody's parents used to say.
Yeah.
When we'd want something, they'd say, well, you know, if you don't really need it, you know, you're not going to get it because money doesn't grow on trees. It's hard to make.
Yeah.
And your father worked so many hours to provide. Or you remember that?
Oh, that's another one. Yeah.
Yeah. We should, some night when we're doing this, the night before, we should write down everything, all the sayings that we know. It would stretch into next week.
Yeah, we could turn that into two or three different shows, just nonstop.
That's right, because, you know, everybody has all these sayings growing up, and it's amazing. Years later, when you think about all the things the adults would say to us, you know.
Oh, yeah. Did you ever get the one about the air conditioner? Like, in or out, you know, stay inside or play outside, but don't leave doors open. We're not paying to cool the neighborhood. Did you ever get that
one? Well, now, ours was, we can't cool the world.
There you go.
Said, we cannot cool the world.
We tried.
That's right. We tried, but it's hard to do.
Yeah. Oh, my word. Yeah, they were talking about the money and, oh, it just costs too much. And we didn't care. But now we do. Now we kind of get it. Now it's just like, okay, now we got to be fiscally responsible. And, yeah, you don't want to just run the air and then keep the door open and all that. We get it now, which is why we do our financial planning and why we talk about the things that we talk about every week. So what are some of the good things that happened before all this weather hit us?
Okay. Well, one thing, we've got a new policy that we're filling. The lady has ovarian cancer. I don't think anybody's ever, that I know of, has survived ovarian cancer.
Mm-mm.
It's one of the most deadly cancers there is. And you can look that up. You can take that to the bank. She has 24 months. It cannot be operated on. It's too bad. It's spread to her liver. And another thing is, there's no premium due on it. She has enough cash value to last for years and years.
Really?
And this will pay the premiums. So there's no premiums. We're not going to escrow for premium. There's no escrow required at all. So it's a good policy. It's ovarian cancer. Everybody knows ovarian cancer. If they've had anybody, any relative die with it, they'll understand. And they'll be the first in line. It's kind of like with breast cancer, ovarian cancer. You know, a lot of movie stars have died of ovarian cancer. because there's just no way to cure it. And like this lady, they said they cannot resect it. It's too serious, and that she has a serious cancer, and it's already spread. It's already metastasized to the liver.
Oh, my word.
So this should be a good policy for everybody to go in, and I hope they will, because I'm going in it, and I think everybody else should too.
Well, I know you mentioned one of the trigger words that that a lot of investors, especially after doing this for as many years as you and they have, you said no premium. And that's usually the thing that gets people's attention. And it's like, whoa, I'm in. Because at that point, you know, I mean, technically it could go on for, you know, however long. And it's just you don't have any premium. And this one obviously won't. But, you know, it's one of those things that really seems to, anyway, get the attention of investors. No premium and people are in. I imagine that's going to go fast.
I think so, because when you know that it's got enough cash pay to pay the premium for years to come, it's a great deal, because you don't have to escrow. We don't have to put up any escrow for the premiums. So it's a great deal. It's short term. It's 24 months that they think she'll make it. I don't know if she will or not, but I know it has spread to the liver, and usually if it's metastasized, and they've already said they cannot operate.
Mm.
It's too bad.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's definitely she's going to pass away. It's just a matter of time now. When it is going to be. Is it going to be 24, 15, or later?
Mm.
So I would recommend it to anybody that likes a good return.
Yeah. Boy, you pretty much hit on all the key factors that investors are interested in. So what's the name of this policy, you said?
Yes.
Do you have it already?
Okay.
Or are you still bidding on it?
No, we own it.
Okay,
we've already bought
it. Got it. Okay.
And her name is Teal, T-E-A-L-L.
Okay. So people should be on the lookout. Have the emails and all that already gone out, or?
Yes, the emails have gone out. People should be getting that. And, of course, not everybody reads their emails. Lots of times we have to go back, as you know, and send a text and say, go look at your email. We've sent you something good.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So that's the one that people need to really pay attention to and respond quick.
They should really pay attention. I've underlined everything. And, you know, I've underlined everything where they'll be looking for all the things that tells you about it. So you don't have to look for it. It's underlined.
Yeah. All right. Good. So, yeah, I would imagine probably Monday or Tuesday, depending on the weather, you're probably going to get some phone calls or some emails or something from interested people. Yeah, that's going to be
I would think so. I would think they would go in this rather quickly, because it's going to pay well. There's no premium. I mean, what more could you ask for? Short term.
Yeah. What did you say, 24 months?
24 months.
All right. Yeah. I mean, that's got all the things. It's almost one of those types of things where you don't really find them very often. But when you do, they're fast going. So...
That's
yeah.
right. And so she won't last long. And so it's like pancreatic cancer. It's about the same.
Yeah. Yeah. That one's going to go quickly.
And so. I don't know why, but ovarian cancer, I think because of the location, they just can't treat it. I mean,
yeah.
It's just, I've never known one person that survived it. Hmm. If you have ovarian cancer, it's pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if they say they can't do anything about it right now. So
that's right. They said they cannot operate. It's too serious.
Hmm. All right.
And so it's stage four, metastatic. It's already metastasized to the liver, so it's a good deal.
Cool.
Okay.
All right. Any other updates with policies and whatnot?
We're bidding on three other policies that look good at this point. We don't have them yet. They've got good profit if we can get them. But remember, it's the first of the year, and everybody's bidding hard.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, in speaking of that, is this how is this year going so far? I know we're only, like, less than a month all the way through, or coming up on a month, you know, into the year. But, you know, how – because I know in the past we've talked about, like, the first quarter is really aggressive for people, and it's very – you know, they're bidding hard, and the competition is tough, and then things kind of, you know, slack off a little bit because most companies will – they'll use all their budget, you know, right off the bat.
The first quarter, yes.
Yeah.
A lot of them do the first quarter, and then they don't have any money the rest of the year. But then there's some big companies that we are bidding against that have got money just piled up, you know. They can bid all year long. They're not like the others. But we've only got one company like that. The others are, you know, bid until they run out of money. And then the others keep money all year long to bid.
So that opens it up really for you to come in and get positioned pretty well, I would think.
That's right.
After they do.
And one of the companies that we do business with in California, they send us a lot of policies. And we're bidding a lot of their policies right now. And we won one this week that we don't even have on the books yet. So we've got a backup past this one. Then we've got two others we're bidding. So
wow.
We'll see how that goes. Everything's looking good. It's the first of the year, you know, and people have a lot of money in their accounts. So it's looking good.
Yeah, I was fixing to say, wow. I mean, it looks like 2026 is starting off really with a bang.
I think so, too, because remember we had all those policies that matured, and Rosenberg is the last one that went in their account. We've still got two other policies going in. But remember, Rosenberg was $1,300,000.
Oh, yeah.
And people made over 30% on that one. So that's in their account. You know, and we've got close to, I think, 97 million that we're managing right now.
Wow. 97 yeah. million?
Yes, 97
Good
million.
Lord. And
so
yeah.
We have a lot of policies and a lot of policies that have got to mature yet.
Yeah.
So we've got all these that matured in December, but I expect a lot more during the year.
Hmm. I'd forgotten about, because there was that last surge at the end of the year, so people have money in their accounts, and I'm sure they've been itching to get that money invested, and so it sounds like some really good opportunities are either here or, you know, hopefully on the horizon, you know, so those should be ready soon if you get them. So, nice.
That's right. And one group has got about $8 million in their accounts, and the other group has got about $23 million in their accounts.
Wow.
So it depends whether they're an aggressive investor, whether they're a hesitant investor, or what kind they are, okay?
So, wait a minute. When you say group, is that like are investors kind of like broken out into tiers, like aggressive?
Well, I put them in the ones that always invest, the ones that invest most of the time, and the ones that are hesitant.
Interesting.
So I've categorized them in three different ways.
Wow. I didn't know that investors were organized like that. I hadn't no
Well,
clue.
I organized them.
Well, yeah, but that's pretty
in
cool.
In other words, I said this group I know they invest all the time. Let's put them on the front burner. These invest most of the time, but not all the time. And the others are always hesitant. So you've got the three categories.
So if you have a new investor that has been listening for a long time, and I know this happens quite a bit, people have been listening to you talk about life settlements, and they say, wow, this is you know, really great. I need to do something, especially after, you know, what was it, Tuesday or Wednesday last week with the stock market thing?
Yes, when it fell.
It was, I can't remember what day that was, but it's like there was a not really good day, which made people a little bit nervous, I would think. And maybe starting
set
to
up and pay attention.
Yeah, that's like cold water on your face in the morning.
That's right. It was like cold water. It got their attention, which I think was a good thing.
Yeah, it's like you kind of need a little bit of a wake-up call because, oh, hey, don't forget, you know, this could happen at any time. And so, you know, for people that are maybe thinking, okay, maybe it is time to get off the train and do something a little bit more sensible, a little bit more conservative, you know, to make sure we don't, you know, lose our principal, to make sure we don't have to wake up, you know, tomorrow or Monday and say, you know, gosh, we've lost everything. And, you know, it's just one of those things that maybe gets people thinking. So if somebody is thinking and they're in that mindset of we should probably do something a little bit more conservative, how long would it take to get into a policy? How long would it take to set up or just to kind of get things going?
It's probably going to take a week to get set up. To get in a policy, it could take a week and a half to 2 weeks. If we're right in the middle of a policy, it'd be quicker. If we're waiting on one to close, it could take a little longer. But, you know, I've had a lot of people call this week. I've talked to a lot of people. A lot of them are getting ready to retire, and they wanted to know about changing to a Roth. One gentleman, at a regular IRA, and he's wanting to know if he might put part of that into a Roth. And I explained to him that a Roth, you pay the tax now. You never owe taxes the rest of the time. You don't have to make an RMD. You don't ever have to take a distribution. It can grow tax deferred all this time because you're not having to take anything out when you retire. So a Roth has a lot of good possibilities. You don't want to take anything out of a Roth till at least 59 and a half. You don't want to do something silly. But you can have a regular IRA and a Roth, or you can convert to a Roth. Even though you have to pay tax now, you don't pay tax the rest of your life, and it's growing all that time, which is a great deal. And lots of times, as we know, people want to leave money, an IRA, to different people. So you have to, you know, name them in the policy or name them on your account, however you're going to do it. So there's all kinds of way to do it. And I was asked this week what I charge to give them this information. I said, there is no charge. You know, we want you to know this in advance. You know, it's part of what we need to tell you.
So I guess we've never really gone down that road before, but with a Roth, if people are paying the taxes up front, and then they never have to worry about them again, is it more like a relief? Like, whew, that's out of the way. I don't have to think about it. The rest is all just growth and you know.
It's all growth from there. And I have a lot of people that have Roth. I have people that have a Roth and they have an IRA. And it depends how much money you've got and what you want to do with it. You know, a lot of times people say, well, the Roth, I'm not going to be taking any money out of it. It's just going to sit there. Well, that's fine. But if you've got an IRA and you're going to start taking money out of it, you know, we need to know now which way to go. But you may need both, depending on your circumstances.
Hmm.
And sometimes the wife is still working. You know, she's paying tax on her money, but her money is not going to affect you right now. And a lot of people worry about the tax bracket. If you have a Roth and IRA, it's not going to affect the tax bracket. Because you're not paying tax on the Roth. You're only going to pay tax on the IRA when you take it out. So it's going to grow tax deferred. And so you're not paying any tax if you're not taking anything out of the IRA.
Wow. Because, yeah, I know I know sometimes we talk about, you know, in some situations, it's best to put the taxes off as long as possible. But then I guess maybe your mindset is thinking, wow, you know, at some point I'm going to have to take care of this and square it up. But I guess maybe on the other side of the coin is get them done, get them out of the way right now, and then you don't ever have to think about it ever again with a Roth.
Right, because that, and you can, and most people don't, but you can add to a Roth even after 70.
You can?
Yes.
Really?
So you can do a lot of things with a Roth.
Huh.
And, of course, you know, it's tax-free after you establish it. So the money that's growing, it's going to grow faster than in a regular IRA. But and sometimes people want to leave just an IRA. And if they do, that's all right. We can do that. Or you can have both. And then lots of times have regular money. And sometimes people say, look, I've got a third account I'm going to take my money out of every year. I'm not taking any money out of either one of these. Then you're going to have a lot of money in 15 or 20 years.
Yeah.
Because you're not making any distributions.
Huh. Yeah.
So it depends how many IRAs you might have. And this is where it comes in that you had a job before this one. And so you're going to bring that old IRA over here. So you're going to take the money out of the old IRA and not your new one. So you've got this other money that's just going to grow. And you're going to take your living out of the old IRA.
So you roll it over. They take anything out of the old one. The new one just sits there and grows and grows and grows and grows. Is that
right? That's
right.
And if it's a regular IRA, you don't have to take anything out till 73 and a half. Let's say you're going to retire at 60, you know, and you're not taking anything out of it. That's a great deal. It's just going to grow and grow. And at 73 and a half, yes, you have to start taking minimum distributions. But you don't for 10 years or so. So that is a growth deal. And it can't go down in either one of our investments. Remember that. If it's in an annuity, you know, it has a stopgap where it doesn't go down. And then if it's in a live settlement, you know, that doesn't go down. Whatever it says it's going to pay, it's going to pay.
Yeah. They don't discount for market conditions.
No, they're not going to discount.
Anything. Wow.
So.
And speaking of annuities, since you just casually threw it out last week that the rates are back up to 16, are they still there? Are we still?
Yes. I got a memo this week said it's good to go on the 16%.
Wow.
So it's back up. Let's hope it stays up. So if you do an annuity, remember you get the 16% bonus, and that's up front. It's added to your policy, and it goes up right then, plus whatever it makes. And if you're putting money in every year into your annuity, you get the bonus for 3 years.
If it's
a lump sum, you get all the bonus right now. You get your bonus on whatever it is. Let's say it's $1 million or $500,000. They're going to add that 16% to it up front. And then whatever it makes for the next 10 years. So you're covered every way in the world.
Good Lord, 16% on $1 million or $500,000, that adds up quick.
That is substantial.
Yeah. Woo. And we're also talking about compound interest with annuities, right?
That's right. It's compound interest. It's tax deferred until you start taking it out. So it will grow faster tax deferred than if you were paying taxes every year. So that's a great deal. And I love both of them. I think a person maybe should go half life settlements and half annuities, unless it's a smaller amount and you may want to put it all in an annuity. But if you've got enough money, you can do both. Because if you don't need the money right now, the life settlement will be great because it does pay rather well.
Yeah. And I mean,
you know, the average is 24-26%.
Good Lord.
But most of our policies, as you know, pay around 30-33%.
Yeah. I mean, that 24 is kind of on the low end. A lot of them are much higher.
Right now it is, because when you go back and look at all these that came in the other day, you know, all of them were in the 30s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And a lot of them will come in early, too. So it just means.
And two of those did come in early.
Yeah.
So those people got paid early, so they made more by coming in early. When you're doing cancer policies, when we buy a cancer policy, you know, it's not always perfect. We don't know for sure, you know, like the ovarian cancer. We know that it's deadly. We know that they say in 24 months it could come in at 18 or 16, or it could go over. So it's not always exact. But you know how much you're going to make going in. And it tells you, you know, up front what you're going to make.
Yeah, and these are life insurance companies. So we're talking about the reserves are on hand. They don't have to go out and raise the money when a policy matures. They don't have to borrow it from somebody else. They don't have to take it out of this property over here or this account over here. They literally have the reserves on hand. Because that's federal
law. That's right. And
so,
like the companies we use are worth billions and billions. Not millions, but billions of dollars.
With a B.
And they've been in business from 60 to 100 years.
Jeez. You know, it's just.
So they know what they're doing. They're stable. Most of the ones we use are owned by Texans.
Oh,
Texas,
see, there's
companies.
A plus. Yeah.
It is a plus. I think you can trust them. Because they've been in business a long, long time. They have an A-plus rating. They're rated by all the rating companies, like they do the banks. They're rated A-plus.
That is a big deal.
It is a big deal, because we see all these companies all the time that have no ratings,
yeah.
You know?
And we see how that goes.
We see how that goes and how it went. These big trucking companies were worth, you know, $100 and something million. And they didn't manage it somehow. And they're all going broke. We're not going to have any trucking companies left, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I know. Between mismanagement of the companies and auto-driving trucks and AI, we're not going to need anything anymore.
If we have these automated car trucks, can you imagine if we met a truck going down the road and there's nobody in it.
Oh.
I mean, that is so scary. So scary.
I know it.
I mean, wow.
God help me the day that I drive down the road and I look over and I see no driver in the car next to me.
How do they buy gas? That's what I want to know. How do you fill up with gas when you don't have a person in there? Tell me that.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. How do you buy gas?
Well, I did. Because, you know, we all have to stop and buy gas. So this is a driverless truck going down the road. And how does he get gas?
Huh. Well, that's interesting. I'm surprised that never crossed my mind. I've never heard anybody ask that before. Wow. I don't know how you get gas for a driverless car. That's interesting.
Yeah, we need to look that up. How do you drive a truck down the road and driverless? And how do you get gas, folks?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That might be an important question.
Hopefully the people that invented these things had already thought about that, you would think.
I just don't know what kind of system it's got that drives itself. I'm a little perplexed about it.
I know it. It kind of scares me, because what happens if you hit ice, or, you know, not to kind of go with what's top of mind right now, but, you know, what if you
can't call for help?
I know.
I mean, there's nobody to call for help. You just have to sit there, I guess. I mean, I'm just, as I said, I don't quite understand it.
I don't understand it, and I don't know why we have to have it. I just didn't think that was something that we desperately needed, but maybe I was wrong. I don't know.
Maybe you're wrong. I mean, you know, we need AI, and it's dangerous.
Yeah.
It's taking the place of everybody. You don't need any people if you have AI.
I know it. That scares me. The amount of people that jobs that will be eliminated is terrifying.
It is terrifying.
It could do things I didn't think it could do either, like make food. I've seen things like they have like fast food drive-throughs where there's no people. The AI machines make the hamburgers in the back. There's
really?
No people. Yes, I have seen. I saw videos of it. So, I mean, it's a real thing.
I would faint in the drive-through window if this voice talks to me. It said, I'll have it out, and you're looking for a person. There is no person.
I know it. It's weird.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know what we're going to do. It can replace jobs that I thought you would have to have a people person for forever. There's no way to replace people, and it has. It's been really crazy.
And I saw that Amazon and some of these companies are using robots.
Yes.
They have robots.
Yeah.
They're replacing the people with robots, and the robot talks. It does things. It can understand. It picks up the packages, knows where to put them. I mean,
wow.
It's pretty amazing.
It is amazing. Even pizza delivery. I've seen pizza delivery happen with no people. I've seen the little video of the little car thing when the side door, and it's how does that happen?
Who brings it in?
I don't know.
Who brings it in if there's no people?
I guess you have to walk out to the car and put in a code, and then the door opens, but... But still,
I would faint right there. I would just faint right there.
Yeah, you'd have to come pick me up off the grass.
I guarantee if I went out and the car's sitting there running, that there's no people, I'd be looking for that person. Look under the car in the back seat. Look everywhere. Wow.
They got out and ran.
That's what I would think. Something happened to them.
Oh, my word. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby, but your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
We're going to talk about the Fort Worth Stock Show.
Yeah.
You know, every year when the stock show starts, the weather gets bad. I should have known that was a signal before all this weather come, that the snow and ice would come because the Fort Worth Stock Show has started.
Oh, geez.
And it's this way every year. Now, did you know it's the oldest running livestock show anywhere?
No, I did not know that.
It's been going since 1896.
Really? I'd have never guessed that. Wow.
And I didn't know it, and I looked it up. And as you know, it has provided millions of dollars in grants and scholarships for all these kids that bring their livestock end to be judged and to try to win the grand championship. It says that it gives Fort Worth $150 million.
Oh, my word, that's a ton of cash.
Did you know it was that big? I had no idea.
No, not even close.
Wow. Well, it was named Cowtown right after the Civil War because cowboys were stopping for supplies while they were herding their cattle from South Texas to the Chisholm Trail. And then after the railroad came, they've been erecting the stockyards because they wanted to be part of the cattle industry. And the cattle stockyards were officially incorporated in 1883,
jeez,
which is even younger,
yeah,
even farther back. And then Charles McFarland and Charles French was the marketing manager for them. And he started the first area stock show, and they had the first one 1896. And then they named it the Southwestern Exposition and Livestock Show. And it was held at the creek. There was no buildings. They had no enclosures and a few trees to provide shade for the animals. And the first exhibitors and organizers was Captain William Eichert of Henrietta. He was a breeder of Herefords. I.K. Kimberlin of Sherman, and Colonel J.W. Burgess of Fort Worth, he was a shorthorn breeder. And so they really started the stock show, and as you said, they just had a few trees and things, and that was it. I mean, there was nothing else there. And so they started it, and look how it's grown in all these years.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they started having performers. The first one was Gene Autry that came there.
Oh, wow, cool.
Yeah, and so they started with parades, and then everybody said, well, let's move it from spring to winter, and that was what happened to them. And then they changed it to the Texas Fat Stock Show, and then they put up tents. So it was coming along, and they raised $50,000 to form the company in 1904.
Wow, $50,000 in that time, was that's a lot of money.
Yeah. And so they started out small, and then they presented the idea to the committees and said, let's add to the stock show. And it became the Northside Coliseum was the only arena they had. And then later, you know, they built the arena and started doing this, and they had a Wild West show, male and female, and they were giving them a $3,000 prize. And back in 48, they had 23,000 attend.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And now there's 900,000 people that attend the Portsmouth Stock Show.
Wow. I didn't know the numbers were, I mean, I knew they were big, but I didn't know that big.
They are really big. They say people come from all countries to see the Fort Worth Stock Show. And the first thing they had was the Brahma bull riding. And that was in 1933, and that was one of the first major events was that. And, you know, when they, all the things they have, you know, the children, they bring their poultry, they bring their rabbits to be judged. They have the all the cattle, and a lot of people don't realize what all, you know, the things that are shown. But, you know, they've got all the horses, they've got all the cattle, they've got bronc riding. They've got everything in the world. They have a donkey and a mule deal. They have a horse jumpers. They have a miniature horses. They have the Mustangs. They have team roping. Cowboy mounted shooting.
Cool.
And then they have a painted horse show. Then they have the working cow and a horse fence challenge. Then they have the barrel racing. They have the ranch horses that compete, and the quarter horses, and then they have all the show animals. And that's where all the kids come in, and they bring their rabbits, they bring their cattle, everything is to be judged, and somebody wins all this money that they give away. And it's, as I said, Dickey's Arena has just been built, so now most of it is at Dickey's Arena, which is a fabulous place, as you know. It's so big. You can put everything in the world in there, and you can't even hardly see it.
I'm probably.
But as I said, Gene Autry was the first one. And they said that's what brings them in, is whoever they have, that the entertainment is what brings them in.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Roy Rogers and Del Evans was big there. They came several years in a row. But they always have name entertainment, and you can get tickets for all of it.
Did they? Now, I'm probably thinking of something else, but for some reason I'm thinking that there was a winner, was it last year, who was like 16? Or am I thinking of something else?
That's right. Yes, she was.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, and she was from a little bitty town, if you remember. And it sold for, what was it, 200 and something thousand.
Yes.
Her little deal. And it was enough to go to college.
Yeah. Which was cool. I like that.
Yeah. And then they said in 27, they built the chutes for bucking horses and bulls. So they were thinking every year about, well, what all would the people like? What all can we do, you know? And every year they added something to it. And, of course, now it's very modern. And they changed the name again in 1978. And every year it starts in January through February. And they have every kind of performance in the world. And they have all these kids stuff. They have, you know, all the horses, the rodeo, the bull bucking, everything. But $150 million. And over 900,000, as I said,
and
80 foreign countries are come.
Eighty
foreign countries.
Cannot believe those numbers. I mean, I do, but it's just mind blowing about how many people from all. It's not just a little thing. I mean, even back 1886 when it started, it was just a little thing, you know. And now it's this worldwide event that people plan vacations around from different countries to come here to experience it and be a part of it. I mean, it's just, it's huge. It's mind-blowingly
huge. And, you
huge.
Know, when they started out, the gifts that they gave away were by the area merchants.
Yeah.
Because that's who had to put the money up, because they didn't have any other way to do it. And so the merchants would put up the money for the kids for all their prize livestock.
I'm shocked. I knew I wouldn't have guessed these numbers. I wonder though if I know they moved it from spring to winter, right?
That's right. That was their mistake.
Yeah. Maybe they should move it back to spring.
I mean, it'd make a lot more sense to me.
Yeah.
But they moved everything to Dickey's Arena when they built it in 2020. And you know, and then COVID. In 21, they couldn't have it. And that's the only time, I think, other than the war, that they ever canceled.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I mean, it's one of those things. It's kind of amazing when you stop to think about it, when something like that starts, you know, as modest as it was. And then every year, they just add a little something. And then you just add a little something the next year and add a little something more and kind of expand over here and kind of like add a little something next year. But before you know, it's almost like the boiling frog syndrome. It's like before you know it, it's this gigantic, you know, huge monstrosity of an event. And it has all these things. And like you said before, it's really become so modern from where it started from. And it's happened right before our very eyes. And it's not like one year it's teeny tiny and a whole bunch of stuff. Then the next year you go in and it's like, wow. I mean, we don't even notice some of the changes, you know, from year to year. Just what it was when it started and what it is now. It's amazing.
And they say the 2023 stock show set a record for the highest purchase price at the sale of the Grand Champion. And it was a 1,300-pound black European cross named Snoop Dogg. It sold at auction by a 15-year-old. She was a 4-H student from Canyon, Texas. And Higginbotham Insurance Company bought it for $440,000.
Whoa.
That's
really?
The highest price ever paid.
Wow, I was impressed with last year. I didn't realize.
Yeah, I was too, but I didn't realize that either. But they've given scholarships to Texas Christian University and Texas Tech. So there a lot of grants go out. It helps a lot of kids, and it really helps the economy. Can you imagine $150 million
yeah.
For less than a month.
Yeah, I mean that's a lot of cash in a real big hurry, and it sounds like it just keeps getting bigger every year. You know, it does,
and the name entertainment brings them in. Dickey Stadium, it's you know, when they started out, they didn't even have anything but tents. It was all outdoors, and every year they thought of something to improve. Then they said, let's build a building. They had the Will Rogers Building all these years, and it's a lot smaller. I've been there many times. Then they built Dickey's Arena, and you can see everything.
Oh,
I mean, the seats are great. There's not a seat in the house where you can't see the whole rodeo. So the rodeo has come a long, long way. And these cowboys and cowgirls that come and perform, you know, this is their livelihood.
Yeah.
You know, they get prizes. They get cash prizes for riding, for the bronc riding, for the horses, you know, everything they do. And they, you know that they have llamas that perform at this thing. Did I tell you that?
Oh, no.
They have llamas that they dress and they perform.
So my next question is, what are you waiting for?
That's what everybody says, Faye. You need to train yours to do this. I said, can you see me putting clothes on my llamas? I'd have to tape it. We could sell it for millions. I can see me laying on the floor, pulling on this llama's leg, trying to get the clothes on it. Oh my gosh, I can see my llamas. Oh Lord,
you're a hair's width away from telling the llamas to put your pants on.
That's exactly right. So we're going to do this. I think the video would sell for millions.
Oh, yeah, it would. Oh, wow. You would be world famous with that.
I would be famous. I'd probably be dead, but I'd be famous. Time they kicked me, you know, enough.
Oh, wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You know, I wonder, do you have to make llama clothes, or do they sell them on Amazon?
You know, I don't know, because as I said, I've never tried to put a dress or a pair of pants on a llama. But I know that they do, the ones that are really tame,
yeah.
You know, that they can take into town are a little different than my llama. You know,
I want to see you try.
Oh my gosh, my llamas are sweet and they're wonderful, and you can pet them and all this, but they're not even halter broke.
Oh gee.
So you would have to halter break them first, then try to put those clothes on them, and I think you're going to need about four people. One person couldn't do it, I tell you that.
But it sure would be fun to watch.
It would be so fun, as long as somebody else is doing it better than me.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I guarantee the llama would be laying on top of me. I believe he'd get me down and just probably kick the heck out of me.
They would no longer be docile creatures.
They would not. And they would probably never speak to me again.
No.
I think they would go away.
They're going to go over to the neighbor's house and hang out.
You're exactly right. You're going to go to the neighbors and stay with them and say, you know, I was not treated very good over there.
I was fine until Mama tried to put clothes on me.
That's right. We were doing pretty good. We were both minding their own business until she got, you know, high class and was going to do this.
Yeah. We had a good thing going, and then she got greedy.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
That's exactly what happened.
Oh, my word. Okay, before we wrap up with annuities, so the 16% is still going on. How long does it take to get something like that going within an annuity?
It'll take about a week because, you know, we don't do it the old-fashioned way. You know, everything is changing. Now we can email them the application. We don't have to send the original in and do all that. So it's a lot quicker than it used to be, probably a week, unless we're doing a rollover. Now, a rollover is going to take 2 weeks or three.
Hmm.
If they're just coming in writing a check for $500,000, it's quick.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good because I know that, you know, since probably I know there was a lot of excitement the first time the bonuses went up to 16. And I would imagine probably as the word gets out again that they're back up to 16, you're probably going to get several calls and inquiries about that. So that's good to know that.
Because a lot of people are retiring right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's the first of the year. They're retiring. and they're calling. So this is good news for everybody.
With a life settlement, there is a you do have to be accredited, so there's a process for that.
You
so
must
that
be accredited. To be accredited, you must make $250,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your house.
Okay. And with the life settlement, you do always like to stress the two risks so that people know everything.
There is. That's right. The greatest risk is the premium. Always know what the premium is going in. We don't do high premium. We used to accidentally, but we don't anymore. We've got that premium way down. So you won't have to worry about any high premium. So that's covered. The other thing is it is not liquid till it matures. You can't right in the middle say, I have an emergency, need some money. You can't get it till it matures. When it matures, it goes in your bank account, and you can roll it over and do it again.
Yeah.
And remember, we use Nevada Trust is our agent. They're the trustee on all accounts. They handle the money.
So it's all nice and secure. We bring that up because of all the security measures that go with it. Not only, you know, are they all the things that you were talking about, but they're also anytime anything happens or there's a request to move money or do anything like that, they physically pick up the phone and call to verify and talk to you.
That's
know,
right. I wish the banks did this.
Yeah.
All these people that have lost all this money this year and last year, all these elderly people, if the bank had picked up the phone and called before they sent that money out, these elderly people would not have lost their money.
I know.
But they didn't verify. They didn't care. You know, big banks anymore, they don't verify anything. If the money's there and some crook wants to take it, they're going to take it. That's just all there is to it.
Yeah.
And instead of verifying, saying, Miss Jones, did you request this money? Did you want us to send it here? Mm-hmm. Nevada Trust calls every time if you tell them, you wanted to send money somewhere. You send them a request, they're going to call.
Yeah.
And when I want to do something with money, they call me. Faye, did you really want to do this?
Mm-hmm. And you don't see that very often. And so people, I think, when they experience something like that, they really do appreciate it much more than probably what you even know. So
they just don't realize how great it is.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
The banks do not do it. They don't call. That we can't even talk to a banker. Remember that.
Oh, yeah.
The banks have all gotten so huge. They say, fax it, email it, do something, but don't bother us.
Yeah, don't bother us.
That's basically what they're saying.
It is. It is. If anybody who's ever tried to call a bank recently, you know, it can be challenging. So, yeah.
It was very challenging. I never did get to a live banker. Never did. You know?
Wow. So for any of this to happen, people do need to call, make an appointment. If they have questions, fine. You can sit and talk to people until they're blue in the face. If they're ready to just, you know, get started, that's fine as well. But they do have to call you. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's American Financial Midland.com.